fighting for freedom every day. Broadcasting from the heartland of America.
The next generation in conservative talk radio.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Hey, darn right it is. What's up? Welcome into it, man. It is the final day of the work week, at least for some, not for everybody. If you still have to work the weekends, then welcome to the party, man. But if you are enjoying a Friday, then happy Friday to you. Pat yourself on the back. You finally made it to the end of the week again. You scream ice cream, we all scream for ice cream, and that's what we do here on the show each and every day, setting the tone, bringing that carpe diem all over this place, which is what we do here on The Voice Reason. This is The Voice Reason. I am Andy Hoosier, broadcasting out of the heart of the nation here in Wichita, Kansas, on our flagship radio station, on multiple stations all over the country, TV, live streaming, podcasting, however you watch or listen. Always great to have you, your millennial general reporting for duty like we do every single day. Big show lined up, and it's going to be a little more lighthearted, I think. At least I try to go that way on Fridays, sometimes. We have Crystal DeSantis joining the program. She is, by the way, no relation to Ron DeSantis, former current governor of the state of Florida. Crystal DeSantis, the author of the book Strong, A Relationship Field Guide for the Modern Man. We'll talk about masculinity in today's age, how men can be men in 2024, and what we can do to preserve the family, the traditional values, talking with our children, and with all the craziness and chaos going on in the world. It's kind of an important role, as men do play an important role, even though the progressives don't like to admit that in the time of, we can do everything better! So we'll get to that coming up here in just a little bit. Until then,
do it live!
We got a lot to talk about for sure.
What's trending today?
Yeah, did you hear, by the way, that there's some interesting news on the campaign trail? I have to ask you a question. How do you say that you're voting for Donald Trump without actually saying you're voting for Donald Trump? I'm going to let you ponder that one for just a moment. How do you actually say that you're voting for someone when you don't want to? And this is kind of the direction we're going, which is why when we talked about the elections yesterday, the Democrats, even the White House correspondents, the White House media people, the Democrat campaigners are acknowledging that Donald Trump is winning in a lot of the swing states right now over Joe Biden, and that Joe Biden's desperate to cling on to everything they possibly can, which is why he was clinging on to one particular Electoral College vote in Nebraska, because that's how desperate they are to try to cling on to everything that they can. So one of those indications that they're losing momentum right now, even though they say he's creeping back into the race, he's going to take the lead. In fact, he's going to change red states blue by the end of this race in November, which we kind of laugh off and say, okay, good luck with that. As long as we show up and vote and do our thing, then there's nothing to worry about. They could. If we don't actually turn out and do our thing and actually show up and do our job, they could, but that's highly unlikely with how fired up Republicans are right now. But one of the biggest indications is celebrities that love to give endorsements, that love to go on the campaign trail, that love to talk about their ideas and let people know what their thoughts are, which they have the right to do so. But when they try to tell everybody to vote their way because somehow their elitism is a reflection of us in the average good old boy world across the nation, you can really see that as an indication that when they start to lose support, that celebrities won't necessarily endorse Donald Trump, but will at least pull their endorsements from Joe Biden, which is what we saw on Fox News earlier today.
You made that endorsement in 2020. Are you happy with the state of America?
Am I happy with the state of America right now? Well, that answer is no. Do I believe we're going to get better? I believe in that. I'm an optimistic guy, and I believe we can get better. The endorsement that I made years ago with Biden was one I thought was the best decision for me at that time. And I thought back then, when we talk about, hey, you know, I'm in this position where I have some influence, and it's my job then. I felt like that then. It's my job now to exercise my influence and share with this. This is who I'm going to endorse. Am I going to do that again this year? That answer is no.
Oh, my. That audio, by the way, from Fox News, that was Dwayne The Rock Johnson, one of the biggest celebrities in Hollywood right now. And I got to admit, I'm a big fan of his movies. I like him. And I'm really glad he's starting to step away from the politics, because his endorsement from Joe Biden in the last cycle was a really dumb one. But I got to ask you the question again. How do you say you're voting or supporting for Donald Trump without actually saying that you're voting for or supporting Donald Trump. You can say, well, I supported Joe Biden with my personal views back then. Are we in a better shape now? No, we're not. So I'm not going to use my celebrity influence to try and advocate to vote for one way or the other. I'm just going to stay out of this one. That's not a pro-Trump message, but that's a anti-Joe Biden message, which by default would lead to a pro-Trump message at the end of the day. So well done, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, backing off on that one. And of course, sitting down with Fox News in the first place, which is a very controversial thing to do in Hollywood at all. So The Rock, man, pulling his endorsement from Joe Biden, that shows where the state of the celebrity status is. It's not cool any longer to hang out and be part of the Joe Biden team, and that's going to be a devastating blow to Joe Biden. We'll get to some of that here again in just a little bit. I want to get into what's trending, though, because by the time...
What's trending today?
By the time that we have this program again on Monday, the event will be over, and I have to speculate. We have to have some fun with this, but who's... Show of hands, I know you're driving or you're listening or wherever. Show of hands, how many people are excited for the solar eclipse on Monday? The doomsday, the end of the world, the conspiracies that are floating around the solar eclipse on Monday. I have to say, I've never seen so much hype about a solar eclipse. Now, I am excited about the solar eclipse personally. For those that don't know, before I got into politics, before I got into radio broadcasting and multimedia broadcasting, and before I did any of this, when I was in school, in middle school, in my early high school years, I was planning to become an astronomer and I wanted to work for NASA. That was my goal. I absolutely loved it. I still have my $3,000 telescope that I've had since high school that I saved up for working. I didn't want to buy a car when I was in high school. I saved up because I wanted to buy a telescope, and I bought a telescope, and it was amazing. My parents chipped in and helped out as well. So it was cool. And I have an amazing telescope. I've seen on it, and it's one of those you can attach a camera to the back of it. I've seen Jupiter in all of its color with its four major moons, Saturn with the same way, through this telescope. It's an amazing one. And living in Colorado at the time, when I lived at 10,000 feet, there was not a lot of light pollution at that time. So it was really neat to see all of this stuff. I love astronomy. I love space. I've always been fascinated by science and by physics and so on and so forth. So if I were not in politics right now, I would probably be working for NASA. And this stuff's always fascinated me. So I'm excited about it. And I have to admit, I've never seen so many conspiracies floating around this solar eclipse. I made a post and a meme on social media today about just people losing their minds about going and stocking up on all the food. Gotta go stock up because things are going to shut down. The world's going to end on Monday when this happens. Which, are you annoyed by that sounder yet? I'm just wondering how annoyed you are by that sounder. I'm wondering on what exactly could potentially happen on Monday with this solar eclipse. Now, I think it's going to happen in the middle of the day. I'm in Central Time in Wichita, Kansas, and I think it's supposed to happen at like 1:45 or 1:48, where apparently Wichita, so you in the Wichita, Kansas area, we're going to get anywhere between like 87 to 93% coverage of the sun with the path that we're in. So we're almost in the middle of this bad boy. Now, is a little promotion and a little hat tip programming note for you. I will be filling in for the Todd Starnes radio program on Monday because he'll be traveling, part of his book tour, which, hint, hint, wink, wink, again for my Wichita listeners, he will be in town on Thursday next week. If you have not gotten your tickets for that event yet with my flagship station, KQAM, do so because tickets are going and you need to get them now. So just as a heads up on that. But I will be filling in for the Todd Starnes radio program on Monday. His program is exactly at that time, so I have to kind of time out my commercial break to be going on at the time of the solar eclipse. That way, if we do just poof and disappear or the world ends, then I'm not on the radio trying to talk in the middle of a conversation. But I am ready. Whatever may happen, whatever may unfold on Monday with the solar eclipse. So I want to go through because this is a warning to some conservatives that if we're going to be taken seriously with our concerns about voter fraud or about what the government's doing, some of the big government utopian authoritarianism the Biden administration's doing, if we're going to be concerned about legitimate concerns in the nation, can we please, for the love of God, back off a little bit on some of the radical conspiracies that happen? Now, I'm all about conspiracies. Don't get me wrong. I love hearing about them. But if they're easily debunked, then they're not a conspiracy. They're just people causing trouble and just distracting you from real issues. If they're easily debunked, for example, And I don't know how this works. Apparently, people still believe that the Earth is flat and that the somehow the moon moving in front of the sun is proof that we live on flat Earth and that we're not actually moving in through the solar system, and that that is just some type of holographic whatever to prove the fact that we live on some type of flat Earth society. I'm not quite sure how that works, because the whole purpose, I mean, apparently we're living back before the Galileo times when they were like, oh yeah, the whole world revolves around the Earth and everything circles around us. And then Galileo got actually, you know the story about Galileo Galilei, that got attacked and thrown in prison and had to renounce his idea that no, actually we revolve around the sun. The sun does not revolve around us. And that to them at that time was blasphemous. How dare you? The world revolves around us on our little planet of Earth. And apparently we're going back to that mindset, which is very troubling to me. So can we please be careful about some of the conspiracies that are going out there? Some of them are entertaining, for sure. Don't get me wrong. Alex Jones, which he is a little bit on the fringe, so just take him with a grain of salt. Very entertaining. And when it comes to his actual political beliefs, I probably agree with him the vast majority of the time. But his presentation of the issues are a little bit more on the fringe side of things. Made a post on the Tweety earlier saying the major events surrounding the April 8th solar eclipse, Masonic rituals planned worldwide to usher in the new world order. Okay. There's another one that's on Telegram. An individual by the name of Health Ranger that has 75,000 subscribers on Telegram wrote that this would sure be a perfect cover story, meaning the solar eclipse, if our terroristic government wanted to take down the power grid and cause mass chaos while blocking all citizens' communications. Kind of convenient if you wanted to clear martial law and unleash a dictatorship before Trump can win in November. Now, I want to remind you, the solar eclipse literally lasts like 2 or 3 minutes. That's all. Then it moves because it's constantly moving. So I've also heard the fact that Jesus is supposed to return during the eclipse. I've heard about the fact that it's supposed to bring in the 3 days of darkness, which I don't know how that physically can happen when everything still moves. So unless the moon just stops moving right at that exact time and we stop moving right at that exact time, that would be interesting. And I guess if it happens, then I'm ready for it, whatever. But that's the theories that are happening. Now, there are a couple weird things that are happening, obviously, on Monday, which is apparently CERN. If you're not sure what CERN is, you can look that up. C-E-R-N. That apparently is getting fired up on Monday. So that's kind of interesting. And there was another theory about, what is it, the town of Nineveh, which is supposed to be a big biblical town. That's supposed to be some biblical prophecy of this solar eclipse passing through like 7 or 9 different towns called Nineveh that's supposed to fulfill some biblical prophecy. There's actually only 2 towns of Nineveh it's going to pass through this year, which would be 1 in Ohio and 1 in Indiana. So if that was what you're banking on as well, you're going to have to wait just a little bit longer. Not quite happening. All the other ones are quite interesting about this. But if we're going to be taken seriously about what's happening with our government, and believe me, is there a deep state? I truly believe there is. Are there ones pulling the strings behind the scenes? I truly believe there is. Are there ones that really want to do harm and really control the masses with authoritarianism? Absolutely there is. If we're going to expose those type of corrupt behaviors, maybe we shouldn't be spreading things of like flat Earth and how the sun's just going to stop moving and we're going to see 3 days of darkness from 3 minutes of a solar eclipse. That's a little weird to me.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. Welcome back into it. All right, how many people did I upset in that last segment? It's okay. It's all right. If you're a conspiracy theorist, dude, I totally get it. I love conspiracy theories. I will listen to them all day and speculate about them all day long. But if they're easily debunked, they're not a conspiracy theory. They are a way to distract you and take you off course. I'm a very logical kind of guy. I want things to be broken down logically, and being a former, I don't want to say scientist, but being an individual that was interested in science that wanted to become a scientist, I'm a very logical kind of guy, and I fail to see how some of these theories are actually going to come true. Now, if they are, then, I mean, cool. I'm open to them. Let's make it happen. But, yeah, we need to be a little bit more on the rational side of things when we talk about conspiracy theories, because you want to know who the real conspiracy theorists are that are not trying to give us bad names, that are not trying to make us a bad reputation by saying ridiculous things like the Antarctic is actually the wall around all of us, and then beyond that, all the elites control this land that's a whole nother world. Like, we actually have satellite images of these things, right? Andy, they're all fake! Okay. I mean, when you get to that level, then you really can't have a rational conversation with individuals. But that's what some people believe. And if you don't, you have all the power to believe it. I'm just worried that our public education system is failing us, which we've talked about many times on this program, because real conspiracies are out there. And by real conspiracies, I mean, it's really funny to watch the left side of the aisle be the conspiracy theorists, while if you look at the headlines about the solar eclipse and just type in solar eclipse conspiracy theories, all of the headlines, all of the mainstream media talk about far-right conspiracy theorists, and they're the ones that are trying to go after us. When, remember, they're the ones that created the theories that Trump colluded with Russia during the 2016 election. They're the ones that created the conspiracy theory that Trump somehow was hiding nuclear war codes in Mar-a-Lago, which is why they had to come and raid that one in the past couple of years with the FBI, because he was hiding so many sensitive documents that were classified that he somehow never declassified by being president of the United States and having power to declassify certain documents. They're the conspiracy theorists that created all this. They're the ones that said that Donald Trump was like peeing in the bed that Barack Obama used to be in, and saying all these ridiculous things that Donald Trump hates all brown people, and that he said that all brown people and Mexicans that coming across the border were racist and rapists and so on and so forth. They're the ones that say all this garbage. So you want to talk about conspiracy theorists, that would not be us, really. Do we have our conspiracies? Absolutely, we have our conspiracies, and we have them because they're legitimate and that we actually have some type of backing to support them, and we can speculate all we want to. Again, I love conspiracies, but at least have a little bit of backing and understanding on how these work instead of just saying ridiculous things to get people all fired up and riled up, which is absolutely crazy. For example, there is the, conspiracy theory, the backtracking of the Democrats on certain policy, including like the ban on TikTok, which they now want to backtrack on, saying that they don't want to ban TikTok. They want to disengage, or they want to remove TikTok in a different fashion, while saying that we're the nuts ones by claiming they wanted to ban TikTok, because that's what they said early on during their conversations.
Today's call with President Xi. If President Biden is concerned enough about TikTok to bring it up on a call with the president of China, why is he and why is the vice president, why are they still making videos for TikTok?
That's coming out of the campaign, so I would refer you to the campaign. Wait, that's... I understand. It is the campaign's decision. I would refer you to the campaign. We have been very clear. We are not trying to ban TikTok. We're not trying to ban TikTok. We're talking about a divestment.
A divestment of TikTok, which divestment, by the actual definition of what divesting means, just means depriving someone of the power or the rights to possess it. So we're not banning it. We're just divesting. We're just not banning it. We're just getting rid of your ability to possess the actual platform, or for the platform to be able to exist in the United States. That, to me, that, I guess that's not a conspiracy theory. That is gaslighting, though. And by gaslighting, you start to spin the wheels about what conspiracies could be behind that and the motive behind that. So this would be a Democrat issue that we need to start focusing attention on, because they've been gaslighting us for the past 3 years, and we're finally starting to catch on to their games here.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. When reason meets radio, this is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. Welcome back into it. Reason, common sense, rationale. That's just what we do here on this program. Common sense, which is kind of a minority in society today. So we try to change that. And doing it on a daily basis, multiple radio stations all over the place. Find us online at HoosierReason.com. You can find our social media at HoosierReason as well with our handle. We do have our video stream on our website at HoosierReason.com. We are on Roku TV thanks to OpsLens, OPSLENS.com. They have their network with all the great programs that they broadcast on their social media website, their app, their Roku channel, all that. So we are on there. If you're watching us, welcome aboard, and we love you to death for Sure, all over the place. All right, let's get into it. Let's shift gears a little bit because it is a Friday. I don't want to talk hard politics all day long, although it is interesting to watch the campaign trail. Real quickly on that before we do shift gears, the push to not ban TikTok, apparently, but to divest TikTok, which by definition, again, if you just Google a definition of what divesting means, that means to deprive someone or something of the power or the rights or the possession. So we're not banning it. We're just depriving you of the ability to own it. Apparently, that's what the White House is saying with Karine Jean-Pierre. And I find that interesting. While the Biden administration's putting videos on TikTok because, well, they're trying to get to the young crowd, which they're desperate to get to the younger generation. But one guy that's actually doing very well with the younger generation is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Why? He has the social media platforms that the young generation's on, and he looks very relatable to them when he's out at like Muscle Beach and doing push-ups and chin-ups, when he's talking about the environmental stuff, which a lot of the young generation's very, very focused on and very aware of. He's very relatable to them. And Biden wants those voters. So, of course, he's going to talk about banning it, or I'm sorry, divesting it while he's making videos on it as well. Very interesting stuff, but we'll get back to that later.
What's trending today?
I want to shift gears, though. Let's talk a little bit about society, though, and the role of individuals in society, which I find a quite fascinating one. And I'm not talking about the ones that want to be something else, which is an entirely different conversation, but the family unit, the family values, and the nuclear family, so to speak. And the role of men, obviously, as you know, masculinity has been demonized for the last few years, being called ultra masculine. If you're a guy that, you know, works with your hands and has a beard and knows how to change a tire, apparently you're considered ultra masculine now and you need to go to a masculinity confession booth. It's kind of strange. So what is the role of men and women in society today and manliness in society today? The masculinity, where is that line drawn, good, bad, or indifferent? Really happy to have on the program. She is the author of the new book, Strong, A Relationship Field Guide for the Modern Man. Excited to have on here Crystal DeSantis. Crystal, how are you, my friend?
I am doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm excited to have you on the program. It's a fascinating conversation because it does seem like that roles are changing and that the role of men specifically are changing in society, in relationships, in their relationship with their spouse and with their children. Are we seeing kind of a different role model for what men are in today's times?
Well, we are. And I think that's part of the issue is that there aren't really clear new role models of what the new modern masculine man looks like, especially in a celebrated way, right? So I'm a woman, here I am. Why am I talking about masculinity? Well, because I think it is really important. And I think that, you know, it's really essential that we have a role that men can see themselves in. So again, I'm coming from the place of being a marriage therapist, being a family therapist. I really very much believe in the role of the man in the home, a father in the house. Like, these things are just, they're incredibly important. Yeah. But what I was seeing with a lot of couples and a lot of families was that kind of the old paradigm of kind of what the father would look like in the home or the role of a husband didn't actually transition into what people wanted in their relationships today. Mm. So yeah, that's really why I wrote this book. So yeah, I mean, I believe very much in healthy, mature masculinity. There needs to be a place for it. There is a place for it. But I don't see a lot of emphasis on discovering for men, like, what does that look like? And where is the place now for that kind of man that knows how to change the tire and, you know, wants to have a beard and, I don't know, maybe goes hunting?
Yeah, it's interesting. For sure, men themselves, are you seeing with a lot of your counseling that you're seeing with families and with men in particular, obviously, and we've seen the studies about men overwhelmingly have higher suicide rates, they have higher rates of depression, of anxiety, because of either the stress of just trying to take care of the family or what their role may be in feeling lost. But are you seeing that in the sense that a lot of men feel lost and without a purpose because they don't have a definition of what they're supposed to be doing?
I do think that that's a really, really big part of it, you know, and like I say in my book, so, you know, I was doing a lot of research, and one of these pieces of research that I came across that really, really struck me, and I was talking to a lot of men, and almost every single man that I've ever talked to resonates with this, which is great because that's what the research says. So it's this research study that talks about how men have traditionally inhabited their masculinity, and it's kind of boiled down to what they call the three P's. So being the provider, being the protector, and being able to procreate. Right. So if a man was able to bring home the bacon, if he was able to punch out the guy that's trying to, you know, touch his wife, and if he's able to give his wife babies, he's golden. Right. This is the guy that every woman was lining up to. You know, women, moms, dads were trying to match them with their daughters. Like, this was the high value man. Right. But in a world where, you know, women are also providing for families. Right. So in America, most families at this point are dual income, you know, and then protection. We, you know, again, we can talk to different types of women, but mostly a guy that's going to be walking around punching other men in the face is not exactly the kind of protector that most women are looking for right now, right? And then as far as procreation as well, it's not enough that you just procreate and spread your seed. Now, being an active and present father and being a parent is what the modern, you know, what the modern man needs to be, right? It's not just about procreating. It's about being a parent.
Right.
And so really that was kind of what I was looking at is, okay, these are like essential pieces of masculinity, being a protector, being a provider, and being a procreator. But how can we update that so that it is still transferable to the modern world? Because I don't like the idea that men are just going to be obsolete and go the way of the dinosaurs. Like, that's not a thing. We can't do that.
Yeah.
We need to provide an avenue so that men can see themselves as protectors, but maybe in a slightly different way, like being an emotional protector. Same thing, providing. If your worth is tied to your paycheck and your wife out-earns you, what then is your purpose, right? So what else can you do to provide for your family? And same thing, you know, rather than just being a procreator who then, you know, gets ripped off for child support later on, what does it mean to actually be a present parent and a really important and present father in your child's life?
Yeah.
So those were all the kind of things that really made me want to write this book.
It makes sense. It seems like those three P's, what the role of the man was and that manliness, that masculinity, what that purpose was, is now in today's times, it's still there. But it seems like there just needs to be more depth to it. Like you said, we can be the procreator, but we need to be the procreator, but then stick around to actually, you know, raise the kid as well and be part of that, you know, fatherly 100%. Figure. Yeah. So it's just the depth
exactly.
to it, which makes a lot of sense to me.
Couples is like giving men that hope that, like, you know, just because your wife doesn't want you to be in bar fights every weekend doesn't mean that you still can't protect her by, you know, showing up for her in other ways. Or same thing, maybe let's say you're in a depression because you've lost your job and now you feel emasculated because your wife is the breadwinner. Rather than seeing yourself simply as a financial provider, maybe you can be the provider of care, of emotional safety, of fun. Like, there's so much else that you could be providing. And see, you know, again, like you said, enhancing the role of masculinity rather than narrowly kind of defining a man as a fist, a wallet, you know.
The Neanderthal.
Method.
It's okay. The Neanderthal mindset of, oh, that's what the guy's going to be. He's going to be the knuckle-dragging guy that just beats people up and just brings home the bacon. Like, I guess there's still a purpose for that, but it goes a little bit deeper.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I like that. That makes a lot of sense. Women today, like you said, are... What are they attracted to overall? And again, this is a very broad painted brush here, but there was a study that shows on the progressive side of things, kind of the radical feminists in society that made a statement a while ago that there are no quote unquote alpha males or men that they're attracted to in their own political movement, largely because they probably degraded them so much that they're all the beta males now. But they've shown that they weren't attracted to a lot of the guys in their own movement. And while they despise the alpha male kind of guy, because they're on the different political aisle, that they're almost attracted to them. I mean, but it makes sense with just their basic biology, isn't it?
And I think that's something else that's really important to consider. I mean, again, I wrote one book coming from a woman's perspective. There are some great books from men's work leaders. And so they talk about this a lot, is that the opposite of masculinity, you know, is femininity, right? These are the polarizations. These are the balance. And so if you tell a guy that you can't be alpha and he instead tries to be feminine, well, maybe a person with a feminine energy isn't going to be very attracted to that. And so that's part of what, you know, I'm saying is like the goal is to take masculinity and just move it into this other, like the next level.
Yeah.
Right. Allow men to level up into this like more full, mature, like expansive masculinity, rather than saying like, nope, they're obsolete, throw them away. And let's try to be attracted to this feminine energy now.
Yeah.
That's not, I don't think that's the goal.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to work either. We're talking with Crystal DeSantis. She is author of the book Strong, A Relationship Field Guide for the Modern Man. Crystal, we have to take a break here. Can you stick over one more segment with us?
Sure.
Awesome. I love it. I want to continue this conversation. I want to talk about how men can start taking those steps in your mind on how we can do that, how we can begin to do things like, I don't know, processing trauma, which we always like to just stuff down into us and just ignore and just go about our day, which has led to some not so healthy habits, and what we can do as men to be the healthy modern masculine guy in today's times. Lots more coming up. Stay here.
The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. What's up? Welcome into it. Just carpe diemisms all over the place here for a Friday, getting you set for another great weekend, getting you set for the end of the world, solar eclipse on Monday as well, if you believe that sort of thing. Love the conversation we're having right now. Kind of a fun way to wrap up the week. We're hanging out with Crystal DeSantis. She is the author of the book Strong, A Relationship Field Guide for the Modern Man. You can find the book on Amazon. Also find it on her website. It's strong.love. Again, strong.love. Go check out that website and see the book there as well. We're talking about how men can be masculine and the need and the role of masculinity in today's times, which apparently is shunned in many aspects of the political culture. We'll clarify the political culture. It's being shunned there. But Crystal, as we do upgrade ourselves, being men, myself, from the Neanderthal knuckle draggers that we were back in the day to the modern man, how do we begin this process? And more specifically, how do we start working through something that men really need to learn to do better, which is working through traumas or PTSD or emotional things? Because we were always told you're not supposed to cry, suck it up, just move on, just cram those emotions down and just go about your day. And the generations before, I'm 35, I'm a millennial, the generations before that have all done that, and they've told myself to do that, and we've begun to break that trend. How do we do that?
Well, I think what you're doing is, first of all, just so important, right? Normalizing talking about it, normalizing that, you know, this is not a weakness. This is actually the way you get stronger, right? I mean, one of the things, and the reason I wrote my book Strong and I named it Strong is because that's really what it is, right? It's not avoiding things that we don't know how to handle. It's leaning into them and building our strength so that we can handle it better next time. So one of the reasons, I got into this work, I have a real passion for working with first responders and veterans. So I got trained in what's called EMDR, which I don't know if anybody on your program might recognize that, but it is a trauma therapy that uses your brain to reprocess any kind of traumatic memories. And it is so effective. It is like, I mean, if you take nothing else from this program, take this little acronym, EMDR, it's eye movement and deprocessing and reprocessing, where, yes, it is super powerful. And I actually work with a nonprofit so that I can provide pro bono services to first responders using this, because it is, I mean, there's no magic in therapy, but it is an incredibly powerful modality. So that's something right away. And part of that is I think that there's this idea that, you know, if men go to therapy, like all the therapist is going to do is just make you cry and you're going to have to talk about your childhood. And so that's part of why I also want to talk about EMDR, is that like this is a targeted modality. It's used with veterans. It's used with first responders. It is so effective. So if anything else, if you feel like you've suffered some kind of trauma that you're struggling to kind of process and it's waking you up at night, you're having flashbacks, you're having PTSD, go talk to somebody about EMDR, because that would be, you know, the first step.
That's amazing. Yeah. Well, thank you for doing that. What a wonderful program. We'll have to have you back on to talk some more about that a little bit later, too, because that's, I think we need more of that stuff in today's times. With so much, quote unquote, mental health issues that we're seeing in society, a lot of it's coming from just those that either don't have the resources, don't know about the resources, or don't know what to do to try and get rid of some of the issues that they're dealing with today.
Absolutely. And this is something else I always want to say is trauma is mental injury, not mental illness. And so I think there's that stigma, like, oh my gosh, if I tell somebody I'm suffering with PTSD or I have trauma, are they going to diagnose me as mentally ill? No, you've suffered an injury.
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it.
Getting an injury treated, yeah, is possible.
It's possible, right? Yeah. We got about 30 seconds left here, but are you seeing us becoming more open to discussing mental health issues than what we saw maybe, you know, the past 5, 6, 7, 10 years?
100%. And I love it because it is allowing people who would never otherwise talk to me to be in my therapy office and tell me, you know, about themselves, about their lives, unburden things they've been holding for years, for decades. And I'm able to see that change in real time. And so I'm so glad to see this change because, you know, at the end of the day, end the suffering. We don't need this kind of pain. You don't need this pain. Yeah. And there are ways to be helped. So let yourself get the help that you need and, you know, give yourself the best possible chance at the best relationship you can ever have.
Amen to that. And like you said, those that are first responders, that are military vets, anybody who's suffered a lot of that trauma, you can get that help. And that's a great way to go into this weekend. It is strong.love. Go and check out the website, Strong, a relationship field guide for the modern man. Crystal, thank you so much for coming on the program. Thank you for what you do. We got to get you back on and chat again real soon.
Thank you so much. Enjoy your weekend.
You as well. Appreciate it. And hopefully we don't see anything crazy on Monday for that solar eclipse that's supposed to be the end of the world. Huh. I don't know about that one. Until then, everybody, have a great weekend. Back at it on Monday. This is The Voice of Reason. I'm Andy Hoosier. We'll see you on the radio. Bye.